We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
I love it, Matt Morrell. Oh, I love it. No, I got my Robin here today. His name is Greg Dickerson.
It's fine, Matt Morrell. You want to be a weekend producer here at EEI for the rest of your career? Is that what you want? Because I know a lot of powerful people in this business. Okay,
can you make it happen?
I know a lot of you. Do you want to do middays with Keith? They need a producer with Keith and Dale.
Well, no,
you're going to have
about,
that gig.
Jason Rossi's going to be moving on. No, is that not official?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know how it's going to work. All I know is. Somebody needs to replace Paul Chartier, who left.
Right.
So,
yeah. And by the way, it was a huge loss. Paul was really good, as you know, Matt. Paul was amazing.
Paul trained me.
That's right.
Oh, he did.
So
apparently
he did a great job.
Well.
A great job.
Not that
great
well.
Job
I,
he did.
I said, such blatant disrespect, such a slap in the face to me.
Your names are Mark and George. Is yeah. That
yeah. yeah. Mark no, that's and fine. George. I don't mind.
Mark?
I don't mind being called George, but when the producer himself just plays the Mark James Open, I mean.
Mark James and George Dickerson
you know
here
what?
On WEI.
You know, I am this close to pulling a Kirk Minahan.
Uh-oh.
And just throwing down my headsets and whining and crying and taking my ball and running home and threatening to leave. I'm not.
Well,
I'm
the
that
intro
close.
Would be correct. The Mark
right,
James.
Right. Right.
But
exactly.
You know what? Here's the thing. I'm gonna just guess. I don't know if the suits here would respond the way they would
so?
If Kirk left. Because
yeah, you are probably correct.
You know, I think
yes.
Kirk equals a lot of big numbers.
You don't
morning
think that
drive.
You don't think I threaten
yeah,
the suits
I
here like Kirk
if,
does.
I don't know if George Dickerson carries yes. the cachet
no,
of Kirk Mahan.
He does not.
Okay, 617-779.
Neither does Greg or George.
7937. All right, George Dickerson, Leonard in Worcester. You're up next. Go. What's up, Leonard? Oh, by the way, it's not working again. Go ahead, Matt. There you go. Go ahead, Leonard.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
What's good. Going on?
I just want to say, first of all, that I'm a Vietnam vet, and when I came back to the United States, they were spitting on me and calling me a baby killer.
Leonard, I don't know how you guys dealt with that back then. Obviously, I'm not old enough for that era, but
right.
I've done my homework yes. and learned about it. I can't imagine what so many of you guys went through after you did what you did to defend the country or to support the country. I know a lot of people were against that war, but you know, you were doing what you were told. You were
yeah.
you were in the military. You were following
yeah, and,
orders.
And I thank you and Jerry Callahan for serving this country during Nam.
You're welcome. My point is this, and I want to do a different spin on it, is let's say the NFL and the Players Association accepted what Miami had put into play. And then we're in week 12 now, and Amendola decides to take a knee, and a quarterback of the Miami decides to take a knee, and the Patriots in Miami are tied at first place with a division, and all of a sudden the NFL calls up and says, you got to suspend those guys for the next 4 weeks. I can just imagine the outcry on the radio. Oh, why are you doing that? All they did was take a knee. So all these people that are calling up complaining about them taking a knee for the flag, what kind of outcry are they going to have when their players start getting suspended?
That's true. That's a great point, Leonard. And obviously, is this enough, though? Greg and I talked about this. Is this enough to deter you from stopping to watch NFL games?
No, it's not. No,
okay.
It's not. I mean,
right.
when I came back, I was 30 years as a union guy, and 36 years I was doing contracts for the union. And, you know, the company policy that they put in is actually illegal. I have to negotiate that with the union because it's a unilateral change of the contract. You can't company policy cannot supersede the contract. So now they're in the mix doing that with the union, which is a good thing. But all I'm saying is that these people who are crying about these policies better watch out what they're asking, because they just may get it, and it's going to be worse if that policy goes through, because now all the stars are going to get suspended. Now nobody's going to watch.
Well, here's the thing. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, appreciate the phone call, Leonard. They're not going to kneel. We have breaking news.
Breaking news. This is breaking news on Sports Radio WEEI.
The Celtics have released Abdel Nader. And now what? The Abdel Nader era is over in Boston. There's an open roster spot. The Celtics have released Abdel Nader. I don't know. When you think of the Abdel Nader era, what will come to mind?
Can you I'm sorry. Can you handle this? I'm going on Twitter.
I want to
tweet at Abby Chin about it.
Right. Well, you're blocked. You can't do that. You're blocked.
I can't.
Kyle Draper. He hasn't blocked you, right?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
Okay. Why don't
if Abby has anything to do with it, then he probably has.
Okay.
I find Celtic fans near and dear to my heart, but they are a lunatic bunch. Quite a bit of them.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you how many people I had heard or read in different blogs and different places on the old interwebs who, Abdel Nader, Abdel Nader, he did this and he did
right.
that in Maine.
I know.
Over in Turkey or wherever the hell he was. Abdel Nader's the kind of guy that can't let go of Abdel Nader. No, can't trade Gershon Yabusele. Relax with some of these. The Shane Larkins and the Naders.
I'm surprised like Patrick Gilroy didn't do 4 hours on Abdel Nader.
I have a feeling that if Gilroy's on tonight doing Red Sox postgame, it will be all about Abdel Nader.
Right, because he has his finger on the pulse of the city. As he said, Kirk Minahan does not because he doesn't.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Oh, you never heard
that?
No,
I did not hear that
one. Oh, yeah. No, and then he was on the morning show. He's like, Kirk, you don't know. He's like, I had full lines about Gershon Yabusele.
We're talking about summer league basketball. And the moment I flipped the topic to Gershon Yabusele, I had 5 full lines.
Oh God!
617.
I can't say that I trained him, but I think I could probably say I kind of mentored him.
Oh,
he was a producer of mine in Worcester many years ago.
Oh.
So I like him. I like Patrick very much. I like Patrick quite a bit. But dear God, Patrick, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
good God, Patrick.
You know, Patrick, just for what it's worth, I would never call out the host of the morning show whose ratings are at the apex of all of talk radio, not only in Boston but throughout the country, and say he doesn't know what the pulse of the city is all about. I think Kirk Minahan kind of knows what he's doing when it comes to morning drive. I don't think people want to talk about Gershon Yabusele. NBA
they want to talk
league.
About Abdel Nader now, though.
Well,
you know what?
Abdel Nader phone calls.
As soon as Mark James
there
brought
you go.
Up Abdel Nader, 5 full lines.
Yep.
Abdel Nader, Abdel Nader, Abdel Nader, Abdel Nader, and Abdel Nader.
617-779-7937. Jane, who's calling. Hello, Jane.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
My call. Fine. Hey, I was just saying, all these people that are so vocal against our NFL players, do they sit at home and stand when it comes on TV? They only want to have it done when it's in front of the public?
I don't ever remember being at a Buffalo Wild Wings and people standing for the national anthem.
That's a great point. Jane, somebody brought that up earlier, and I thought about it. I personalized it to myself. You know, my 9-year-old son and I watch football every Sunday. And my son, he gets up. I mean, he's at that age. He stands for the national anthem, and he puts his hand across his heart. And I'm sitting there with my, you know, formerly big fat ass on the couch.
No, it's still big, though.
No, I got it. Slender was my gut that was big.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But I'm sitting there on the couch, my, you know, legs crossed, looking at my fantasy team. I'm not standing. And Jane, you're absolutely right. The hypocrisy of some people is never-ending.
And does Trump stand up when he's at home watching it? You know what I mean? The one that's so vocal about
Jane,
it?
Jane, Donald Trump, I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I'm straight down the middle, but I think the man is a dummy. I think that Donald Trump 4 years ago could not give two craps about the national anthem and being patriotic. Didn't care. And the only reason he does now is because he plays to his base to get reelected in 3 years and for the midterm elections in November.
That's right. Thank you so much.
By the way, Jane, appreciate your phone call.
Yep.
We need more intelligent
caller, especially the female demographic, to call in the station.
Why? Why are we female? Why?
Because you want to be. I'm all inclusive. All inclusive.
I just want.
Yeah. You want everything.
But I want it. I just want good callers. I don't care whether
or bad. You want good or bad, but you never
you
want.
You don't want down the middle.
No, you never. Yeah, I don't want down the middle. Right. Hey, guys, what do you think of Drew Pomeranz coming back off the DL? I'll hang up and listen. I don't want that. We don't want that. 617-779.
Really good or really just.
That's it.
God awful. That's like the George guy earlier on.
Yeah.
Can I read you these numbers real quick?
Yeah, go.
I've been trying to go through and finding different things, and I just picked up some numbers from last year in terms of protests. Week two of the NFL season, week two last year, there were fewer than 10 players who knelt or did whatever, had their fists in the air. Less than 10. Okay. Yep. Week three was when Trump came out and did his famous sons of bitches, fire him, get him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
About 200 players protested in different ways.
But completely reactionary.
Totally. Right, yes. Right. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, the week before, I don't have week one. I'm sure week one was less than 10. It was, you know, 4, 5, 6. Week seven, it was 22. I'm not sure when exactly Veterans Day weekend was last year, or what, you know, week corresponding NFL week it was, but Veterans Day weekend, 3. Week 17, the last week of the season, 7. Week 13, there were 23. So the point that I was bringing up before was it is such a small percentage and small minority compared to the amount of players that actually stand on the sidelines and play in the game.
Let's go back, though, to Matt, what Trump said. Take those SOBs off the field. Play that clip.
That son of a bitch off the field.
Okay.
Get him out!
After that, how many people knelt?
About 200.
Okay.
Or put the fists in the air, locked arms,
right.
Something.
We got. So it took that rally in front of the MAGA crowd for a lot of players to kneel or put a fist up in the air. To me, that alludes to the caller that we had last segment, fake patriotism.
Well, but that you're talking from the Trump perspective.
Well, I'm just saying.
And people out there who were upset. The majority of the 200 or so players who did what they did in week three, that was more of a shot or a reaction at the president going, screw
well,
you.
That's what I'm saying. So this is fake patriotism.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, and the worst of them all was on Sunday Night Football when Jerry Jones was interlocked with his players.
Well, there were number owners like that.
No. But they did it before the national anthem, I want to say, back then. And then the national anthem played and they stood up. Mm-hmm. That to me was that was the ultimate facade. At this point, I'm just like, okay, guys, here's the thing. We're talking about something that obviously has no correlation in residual effects on the actual game itself. That, to me, is what gets me more than anything, that this really, it doesn't have any effect, significant impact on the 3+ hours of the game itself. And as you talked about in the caller last hour, fake patriotism, period.
We are still waiting. I asked a question at the end of last hour, still waiting to hear from somebody who says, I don't watch the NFL anymore, or I only watch the Patriots because I am so disgusted with those players kneeling and the protests. I want to know why. Why, if you love the NFL so much, if you love the game so much, why do 2%, 1% of the NFL players, why does that take away from your love of the game so much? And you know what? I'm sure there are some people that are telling the truth. I think the majority, I think they're fake patriots or they're lying.
And we don't mean the football team in Foxborough. Right. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on fake patriotism and the anthem issues with the NFL. And yes, Jimmy G dates a porn star.
You're just a dirty old man. You know that?
Jimmy G has gone to the next level.
I thought Dale was bad yesterday. Dale just kept saying to me during the break, can we talk about the porn star? Can we talk about the porn star?
Yeah, like,
we can. We're talking about the anthem. We got a lot of calls in the anthem, Dale. He just, God, the two of you.
We can and we will on Dickerson and James.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network. WEEI 93.7 FM.
If you don't respect the flag, or if you don't like the country, or whatever it is, just go into the locker room. Just go into the I think in many respects, that's worse. Isn't that worse than not standing? You know? I think that's worse. So they say, go into the locker room. It's okay, the anthem's getting ready to play. They run into the locker room. Then they come back out. You know what? That doesn't play.
That was the president of the United States, Donald Trump, at a rally last week in Montana. And the only thing I'm saying, and believe me, I will tell you personally and professionally, Greg Dickerson, I hate politics.
I love it.
I'm apolitical. I'm apolitical. I don't like to get, you know, I don't want to, I just don't, to me, it's like, now I understand that Kirk and Jerry do a great job. They have basically engendered and built a huge following, and it works for them. That's because they are consummate all pros at what they do. It works for them. They can. They are one of those. It's like there's certain people who like, you know, like Charles Barkley has that license to say whatever he wants. Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, Kirk and Jerry, they have that license. They've earned that. I don't get into politics. However, when it comes over into the world of sports, this is when, okay, you face a deal with it, and that's fine. That's fine. But to me, one of the things that we've deduced on this show today and the hour and 37 minutes that we've been on is that there's a lot of fake patriotism going out there, whether it's with NFL players, whether it's with people threatening that they're going to boycott the product and they're going to stop watching because due to guys kneeling during the national anthem. I don't know. I hate hypocrisy. I can't stand hypocrisy. And those numbers that you brought up, to me, conveyed and illustrated the ultimate hypocrisy that after a rally like that, I believe it was in somewhere in Alabama, maybe Birmingham.
What, that one right there?
No, Montana. That was Montana. I'm talking about the one where he calls them SOBs.
Back in Mississippi, maybe? It was down south.
It's an SEC state.
It was in a red state.
It's definitely a red state. That like you mentioned, over 200 players kneeled that week or put the fists in the air for the national anthem. That, to me, is fake patriotism. Fake patriotism.
The outrage. You mean the outrage against the players is the fake patriotism?
Well, and I just mean them standing. Like, it took the president's rally for you to become and kneel for the national anthem? That's what it made you do?
Oh, so you're ripping the players?
Oh, yes!
See, I'm not.
I am a little bit because the players,
it wasn't fake patriotism from the players. The players were doing it against the president. The players were reacting to what the president said.
The president to elicit that sort of reaction?
Because he didn't say anything before that. They didn't say anything before that.
No, but they were doing it. Colin Kaepernick and players and Eric Reed were doing it the previous season.
Right. And you know what? Players didn't do it because they didn't feel like they wanted to do it. Or maybe they didn't feel like it was their place or it was the right place to do it. So it's not fake patriotism that around 200 players ended up doing some form of protest during the national anthem after Donald Trump said what he said. Players were basically standing up for themselves or kneeling for themselves and for their brothers who they play with in the National Football League. They were saying
So by week
three, fake patriotism is John in section 311 who says, those four guys, they ain't standing for the national anthem. They're kneeling. Those sons of bitches. I'm never watching them again. That's fake patriotism.
Okay, so what happened between week 3 and week 17 when the number starts to substantially go down?
It dropped because the players, because you know why?
Oh, I get it.
Mark, people make statements and then they move on. Mm. They made their statement and then they moved on.
Okay.
Happens all the time.
All right. Well, to me, if you truly believe in what you believe, you should do it in every single game,
Why would you do it every single game? You make your statement and you move on. Okay. Now, how about these players saying to themselves, okay, I'm going to make this one statement and then, you know what? I'm going to follow up in other places, but this is my place of work. I'm going to focus on the game. My 100% focus is going to be on the game. I made my one statement. It happens all the time, Mark. People make statements to protest something or make statements out against something all the time, and then they move on. They go on to something else or they continue on with their lives. It happens all the time.
It's a normal thing.
From my standpoint, all I'm saying is this. If you believe in what you believe, you do it all the time. That's it. That's it. That's what I'm saying is that if it took President Trump to do a rally and get these guys, 200 of them in week three to stand up, if that's what it took, then to me, it's a little bit disingenuous.
So if there is a rally in downtown Boston today for whatever, women's rights or some sort of cause, and I go to it, I'm then a fraud because I don't go to one every single weekend?
No.
What I'm saying is
it shouldn't take President Trump polarizing rhetoric at a rally to make you patriotic.
They weren't patriotic. They were going against the president.
But that
they were standing up against the president, what he said. It really wasn't patriotic. It was about them standing up for themselves and what they believe in and what their teammates believe in.
Fair enough. But then you have an unsilent majority of people's perception is you're disrespecting the national anthem.
Right. And you know what? I have a problem with those people.
Okay.
It's them.
I have a problem with the whole – I just wish the whole damn thing would go away.
Mark, in the end, the president is to blame, and I also wholeheartedly blame the National Football League and the other dum-dum besides the president being Roger Goodell. If Roger Goodell and the NFL had any stones whatsoever, Mark, you know as well as I do that Trump cannot stand the NFL. He's got a hair across his ass for the National Football League, going back to the days of the USFL and the antitrust suit.
Well, he was shut out of the Buffalo
Bills a few years ago as well.
Yep.
He is now president of the United States. He's not just Donald Trump. Billionaire.
Celebrity apprentice.
He can do something about it, or he's got the stage to try and do something and to try and hurt the National Football League. And that is what he's doing. You really think that Donald Trump gives two freaking craps? He doesn't. He's trying to get and hurt the National Football League. And if Roger Goodell had a friggin' brain cell in his head and had any stones whatsoever, he would come out and defend his players, defend himself, and defend the league.
But you know
against
why?
Him, right. And that would help his league, and he won't do it.
Roger Goodell is a yellow, spineless coward.
Yes.
We all know this. And you know why he won't do it? Because a lot of the MAGA sponsors, the people with the Make America Great Again, there's some big time donors are giving money, millions of dollars, to the NFL. And so Roger Goodell is trying to play this like odds makers in Vegas when they set a line. I want half of the action on the favorite. I want half of the action on the underdog. And I'm going to collect the vig in the middle. That's what Roger
Goodell. But he doesn't have to alienate any business out there that is a dead rat.
Nobody botched the worst thing that you could ever see, domestic violence situation, more than Roger Goodell.
Correct.
When he completely.
Multiple times
when he swept underneath the rug, the tape from the Atlantic City Casino of Ray Rice knocking out his then fiance Janae, and Roger Goodell completely, the NFL, there was a tracking number on it. It got to his office, and they said they never got it. So we know Roger Goodell is a liar and a coward, period.
Do you think that Adam Silver? Do you think Adam Silver?
I love
would,
Adam Silver.
As do I. He's the only commissioner who gets applause when he's out in public.
He gets it.
Do you think that Adam Silver would allow those things or these things to happen? Do you think that Adam Silver would keep his mouth shut?
I will tell
you. If the president of the United States said the same things about his players in his league? No.
Adam Silver, 2 days before the Donald Sterling thing became public, when that tape got out there, I had him on when I was doing Afternoon Drive in Charlotte. 2 days later, the Donald Sterling thing blew up. Adam Silver got rid of that piece of trash, Donald Sterling, that racist piece of trash. Got him out of the league. He'd stayed there for years. And we know what he did. He was a slumlord, and it was awful. That, to me, I said at that moment, Adam Silver did more in the first 4 months of commissioner than Roger Goodell had done at that point in his first 8 years.
Do you think I'm a racist?
People can heap praise on Roger Goodell all they want for the millions and millions of dollars. You know, the team's just got the TV check for whatever it was, $240 million or $500 million, whatever the number it was. People can praise Roger Goodell for that.
It's you know what? It's the natural.
Get me any other Harvard Business School grad who's got experience. Put them in the same position. They can do the same thing. Right place, right time.
All right. 617-779-7937. We apologize because we know the lines are loaded. Everyone wants to get on.
That's fake apology. Don't be.
Yeah, you're right. We don't apologize.
We don't care. I care about the callers. You don't.
I do care about the callers. John in a truck. I care about you, John in a truck.
Hey, I appreciate you caring about me. I do.
Hey, John.
I agree with you guys 1,000,000%. About the fact a little while ago you said that, you know, if you're sitting at home with a Budweiser in your hand, do you stand up for the national anthem? No, nobody does. I would say maybe 1 in 3 million people actually probably stand up. And the other fact is, you know, if you watch NFL games all year, I would say they only show the national anthem about 10% of the time. In big games, yes, playoff games all the time, opening night, they do. Super Bowl, of course.
They started showing them early on last year because of everything that was going on, and then they decided to stop showing them.
And by the way, John, you brought up a good point. What if the NFL and every network, you're only talking CBS, the NFL network, which the NFL owns, ESPN, and Fox, what if they all decide don't show the national anthem at all? Then does this problem just go away?
I would say, yeah. There's no, you know, unless people are taking pictures, like you know, the Getty Images or the, you know, all the political photographers. I'm sure they would get their hands on photos, but other than that, it would be non-newsworthy.
Fair enough. There you go,
John. Thanks for the call.
All right, so there you go. You just stop showing the national anthem. There's one way to but here's the thing.
Well, you'd still get plenty
of pictures
tweeted and Instagrammed and whatnot. But again, in the end, it would be, okay, there's 11 players who we see kneeling between the two teams.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls on this. Jimmy G. And we'll get to the Red Sox, we promise. Dickerson and James.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI, 93.7 FM.
Dickerson and James, not to be confused with Hall and Nash of the NWO as you hear this music, my favorite ring music of all time. Degeneration X is great. This is my favorite. This changed the wrestling business forever.
It really did.
I last year at WrestleCon in Orlando, actually, they did this thing called One Night Only with a Click. And afterwards, I got to hang with Shawn Michaels, X-Pac, Hall, Nash. It was great.
That'd be the greatest moment of your life.
It was one of them.
Sounds remarkable.
It was one of them.
Nothing like hanging around with four washed-up professional wrestlers.
Hey, they changed
bodies
the
are
business.
Breaking down from steroids and drugs. I'm jealous.
This changed
jealous.
All right, Dickerson. George Dickerson has.
Can I read this
George
story real quickly?
George, let me read this. You have a story.
I'm such a douchebag. I don't even know if I could say that.
Well, you just did.
Okay.
Too late.
Whatever.
Don't worry. Morale's not paying attention.
It's a story that was in Bloomberg News. I read an indictment filed Thursday against Miami businessman Philip Esformus, a basketball coach at a Philadelphia college, is mentioned for allegedly taking money and gifts from Esformus so his son Morris would be able to attend the school. This according to three writers of Bloomberg. The trio of writers reports that the coach is described as the head coach at Penn from 2009 to 2015. This coach and the school are not mentioned by name in the indictment.
I know. He's an assistant coach with.
The report claims that the coach was asked to label Morris as a, quote, recruited basketball player to increase his chances of admission. On May 31st, 2013, Esformus allegedly paid $2,000 to fly the coach from Philadelphia to Miami to see Morris play. After that, the dad allegedly wired $53,000 over the course of three payments. Then allegedly spent $20,000 on a flight in a private jet from Philly to Miami for himself, his son, and Allen. Allegedly spent $74,000 trying to get
Do you want to name
particular
the
coach?
The coach
to get the to get Morris in the pen.
You gave his last name. You want to give?
No, I didn't give his last name. Did I just say Allen? Oh, okay.
You did.
Jerome Allen,
yes,
the assistant coach of the Boston.
Yes,
Celtics.
Yes.
He's
so
head coach. So
yeah.
If you want more news on this, I would suggest going on Twitter. TV Abby at TV Abby. I'm sure that she will link to this story, discuss this story,
okay,
and have a lot more on story. So just check that out. As a Celtic assistant coach, he's being accused of accepting a bribe while he was a head coach at the University of Pennsylvania. Abby will have more on it.
She doesn't block me, so I will check it out.
Let me know what she has, because I'd like to see it.
All right. 617.
I'm not sure that Jerome is going to get any Tommy Awards for that.
I don't think a Tommy Award is in Jerome's future. 617-779-7937. Chris in Fairhaven. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, good. Chris.
You know, I appreciate you guys trying to cover what's happening with the kneeling and being as open as you are. You know, my thing is, I don't think it's political at all. I had this argument with a nephew of mine. I don't know how old you guys are. I'm 47 years old.
You are old. 20. God, Chris, you're old.
I know. Well, I'm old, over the hill. No argument. Here's the thing that I had. We were talking about the difference in the generations, and I said, one thing you're missing, I says, about President Trump is the age bracket that he's in. And they go, what's that important for? I said, because of his age, all the peers that he has 10 years older than him and 10 years younger, which are most of the season ticket holders, I said, in almost every stadium, I said, our grandparents had, you know, tickets as well. I said, their generation was the last one to actually be drafted, I said, into wars and everything else. I said, if you don't think patriotism is important to them, I says, they're the one footing the bill for all the other things. How many jerseys have you bought? How many tickets have you ever paid for the game itself? And he said, none to all of them.
Chris, I disagree with that notion, because I think that there are plenty of 30 and 40-something diehard Trump supporters out there who never served a day in the military or who were never drafted. So
I understand. No, I agree with that. But I'm saying why that age bracket is angry about it is because that's how they look at it from their point of view.
I think there are a number of age brackets, Chris. A number of age brackets are upset about it who are on the Trump side.
I agree, but I'm just saying that the older ones that are leading that charge the most, I said, you have to look at it from their point of view. I said, they kneeling during the anthem, I says, is a real insult to them. I said, it's not against, you know, and every race fought in those wars. I said, so, you know, I says, a younger person, I says, I didn't get drafted.
Well, I don't think you paint a big brush over everybody. I don't think it's an insult to everybody of that age or to everybody who got drafted. It is to some, and it isn't to others. And I always like to remind people that the guy who told Colin Kaepernick to kneel as opposed to sitting down was a Marine. He's a former NFL player, and he was a Marine.
I'm not saying that one side is right more than the other. I'm just saying, it's not the people that are angry about it aren't doing it because of political reasons. They were doing it because that's how they really felt. You know, they would have been that way angry about it.
Which, by the way, Chris, to me, that's real patriotism. That's okay. Correct. That's fine. What we can't stand is just fake patriotism. And I go back, and I hate to say this, but I vividly remember right after 9/11, this complete unadulterated proliferation of patriotism, flags on the back of a car, on trucks, on the back, you know, bumper stickers.
That's normal. That happens.
No, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, crickets, nothing.
Well, but Mark,
it was gone away.
But Mark, I agree. I think it was longer than that.
Probably a little longer.
But it happens all the time, and it happens with everything. Mark, right now, go look online or listen to a talk show on your way home that isn't a sports talk show. How many stories out there involve school shootings, involve outrage about school shootings? None. Because
there's nothing recent that happened.
There hasn't been one in
Parkland,
a couple months.
Parkland was like 5 months, six months
there
ago.
There was another one
right.
2 months ago, whatever. But it's the same thing.
Right.
There's a school shooting.
Right.
Gigantic outrage.
The fire starter, like, and reactionary.
And a month later, we go upon our business.
That's it.
And it's,
we move on.
We move on until the next tragedy.
That's
it's
it.
It's just the way we are. It's the way it is in life.
John in New Hampshire. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Hi, Mark. I got a bone to pick first, real quick. I love you guys. You're refreshing for the other crew that's there. Not an insult to them, but you're very refreshing.
Well, what other crew exactly, John? I'm curious.
who are you talking
about? I think they have TNT as their model.
Oh, Tretti and Tomasi.
That one. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah. I digress. Real quick, 23 years in United States Army. I got this bone to pick with you, Mark, about fake patriotism. I get what you're saying with regard to it being perceived as a flash in the pan. But in 2001, when your country is attacked, okay, 9/11, we were attacked, there is it's more than a knee-jerk reaction, okay? I think I agree with you with regards to what I call the pink hat patriotism.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about, John. The pink hat patriotism. Bingo.
But how would you expect people to react after 9/11?
No.
Wait, hold it. I am totally defending what we saw as patriotism after 9/11 because it struck a chord like it's never been struck in this country. A gentleman called earlier who was a NAM-era veteran who was spat on when he came home. I enlisted in 1974. I was told after basic training and then after airborne school not to wear my uniform home. Hmm. Now, I'm telling you something. That hurt. That hurt that I couldn't come home to my hometown and proudly wear my jump boots and my khaki uniform and everything else back in the area that was issued to me. I had to travel in civilian, and I had to travel in a regular airline.
So John, as much as that hurt, it's probably going to make you feel pretty damn good that things are a complete 180 right now. If you see a soldier walking through the airport with their duffel bag, how many people will say, "Hey, thank you. Hey, thank you."
And in fact, I'm one of the peace greeters up here in New Hampshire. I greet the troops coming home once every quarter. But anyways, getting back to the fake patriotism, the knee-jerk reaction of the people who see the football players kneeling. I played sports, mostly football. I get why they all took the knee against the president's statement, because as a team, you were attacked by the leader of this country. I may not like the man, but as a soldier, I took an oath to defend the office. So I walk a fine line. But a football player, I was supporting them taking the knee, and it was the only time I supported them taking the knee because I believed what was said about them as a collective group was wrong. And what I see happening with Kaepernick and his efforts to bring attention and light to an issue which is real, there's a mix. There's a crossover. People are trying to blend the two together. And nothing against the media, but I watched a couple of TV shows, a couple of games this past season at home. And I just want to point out, you're not required indoors to observe the same type of, at least soldiers are, to observe the same type of standing up for attention and so forth. For example, you don't salute inside, things of that nature. Hmm. So to tell everybody to use the caveat, oh, gee, I bet you don't stand up at home. No, you don't have to.
Well, then what about arenas? They're indoors.
Okay, you're absolutely correct. It's an indoor because of the type of game that's being played.
But you just said that might be a soldier thing, not a civilian thing.
Here's the issue. Here's where the flag is publicly displayed.
Okay.
That's the caveat that says, okay, we must now follow the doctrine.
Okay, fair enough, John. John,
for example,
I'd love to
keep... When you see see the three flags dip and you see the only the U.S. flag stands taller. That's protocol.
Love to continue this, John. Listen, man, we are thanks, definitely John. Up against it. Appreciate the phone call. 617-779-7937. Yes, we continue this. Also, next, I promise, Jimmy G. We have to get to it. It's the 900-pound pink elephant in the room on Dickerson, James.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.